From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. We appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as winter turned to spring, turned to summer almost overnight. Some of our highs are higher than you'll see even in the middle of July. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're glad to welcome in Jennifer Campbell to our golden microphone. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good. It's good to be here.
You're almost to your cleanup weekend at Camp Pendola.
I am. We've got two this summer, so spring. Is it spring? Feels
in
like
theory, it's spring.
Yeah, we've got two, so they're coming up real quick.
And you told me the pond was full.
The pond is full. We closed it a little earlier than we usually do, and it only took like a day and a half.
How deep is this pond?
I have no idea. Okay. I really don't. I know if I, like, when it's emptied and I stand at the bottom, I'm going to have to climb. You have to climb out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty deep.
So is it lined?
No.
Is it sort of dirt?
Yeah. It's just dirt and rock.
What's the bottom? Well, I mean, could you walk on it? Is it rocks or sand?
Sand.
Yeah.
Dirt.
And it's freezing water. You need an ice pack to get in, right?
It's not quite to the frozen part, but like...
Comes from a creek?
It comes from a creek. So we dam up a creek, actually, to create the pond. But the creek still flows because it filters.
There weren't some beavers around that could just help you do that?
No. They dug that. I guess they made it bigger in the 80s, but I've seen pictures of them digging it bigger.
Is it big? Was it dug? I mean, it wasn't a hole in the ground or something.
Yeah, it was dug. Sorry. I'm nodding like we're not on radio.
Yeah.
No, it was dug. It was dug out. It's man-made. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So interesting. If it's just dirt, it doesn't have cement siding or anything like that.
There's a little bit of cement by like where the kids can walk in and enter.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of cement there. And then
is there a shallow area or?
There's a shallower area. Yeah.
Okay.
And then where the docks, we have two different docks. So where the dock, well, actually we have one that floats too. We have three docks.
Sounds more like a lake if you've got docks.
They're not huge. They're just, one's for jumping in off of, one is for guarding, and then one is for all of our boats.
Is there, is it as big as a backyard swimming pool? Bigger?
Bigger than a backyard swimming pool.
But not as big as maybe as a one at the high school where they're going to swim laps?
Maybe a little bit bigger than that, but
not
a lot.
Oh, really? Oh, so that's good size.
It's good size. Yeah. Well, we are able to cut it in half, essentially, with a rope that floats. And have like one side for swimming and one side for boats. So we have
for boats.
Yeah, like paddle boats and kayaks.
Wait a minute. This is not a pond. This is Lake Tahoe.
It's not that big. Come on, man.
Is the Eucharistic procession go by boat over the Pendola Pond?
No, it is not. It is not. The procession is not going over the Pendola Pond.
It's big enough to have a name.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just be the pond. It needs a name.
Okay. Well, I'll come up with one this summer.
Jennifer Campbell Pond.
I think we should name it after the last one of the directors previous to me. Maybe Steve Tholke.
That would be great.
Named after him, I think. I'll have to run that by him
the
and his
Tholke
wife.
The Tholke Thermal Pool.
But see, when you say thermal pool, you think warm.
Yeah, thermal just means temperature.
I know, but you know... It makes you think of warm
There's
water.
There's a town in Southern California named Thermal.
There is?
Yeah, right in the Coachella Valley, right near Palm Springs. It's routinely the hottest place in the United States other than Death Valley
that makes sense.
In the summer.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where they got the name, but Thermal.
From the heat. We have boats, though. They're not big boats, you know, little paddle boats and things like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And they practice when we used to do the kayak trip. What are they called? The canoe trip. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah.
We did the canoe trip. We would do their rehearsal in that pond because it's big enough that we can. They have to flip the boat to flip them back over.
Oh, yeah.
Because you need to learn some safety first.
That's kind of scary. Flip the boat and flip it back over.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to do that in a couple different ways. Yeah.
Like in a canoe?
In the canoes.
Because canoes flip.
Canoes flip. They can flip, and they can flip. Yes, if you know different reasons, but you have to learn how to flip them back and get the water out and all that kind of stuff before we send them out at the lake. Come on.
How do you get the water out? Drill a hole in the bottom.
You You actually have to like balance it on another boat and get it all to dump out. It's a sight to see these kids doing it, and it always impresses me. And every summer I'm able to pick out, that's the kid I will be in a boat. I would ever be in a boat with if I were to go in a canoe.
Right.
That is the kid I'm going with because he'll save me.
How many people in a canoe?
2 to 3. Just depends on how big the group is, and because we only have 6 canoes, but so we'll try to bring that back in a couple of years. It needs a little bit of a break. So
do people actually get in there and swim, or do they just jump in and jump out?
Some of the kids do get in and swim. Some jump in and jump out. We have a rope swing, so that's like a big exciting
thing. That's always
fun. That's always fun, and you have to be tall enough to reach the rope, unhindered. Like,
which
nobody
means
can help you.
Like fourth, fifth grade, something.
Probably
like that?
Probably like fifth, sixth graders. Yeah, okay. Well, again, it depends on height because you got some fourth graders that
they're
are
tall.
Like,
yeah.
Forget about it. But yeah, so they love that, and so some, and then there's kids that just like sit in it, and we're always like, every time I see that, I'm like, how are you not frozen? Like, I barely want to put my feet in.
Do they run and get in a hot shower or something?
No, they just step outside and step back, try to get into the sun, I guess. I don't know. It makes no sense to me. But I
swim at a club, for want of a better word. But
yeah.
But and the weird thing is about joining a club is you can join a club for like $40 and they have a pool. It's like $1 a day to swim. If you go to a public pool, I'm at the club, and it makes it sound like you're like a country club.
It's fancy.
Yeah.
It just makes it fancy.
It does. And I'm going to the club, but public pools way more than that.
Yeah.
Usually. And it's usually 80 degrees and it's freezing, I think. I can't imagine what the pond is.
I always think I should take the temperature of it, and this year I'll try to remember to do that. Because I do have the laser pointer looking.
Well, I remember I was a lake up in Idaho one summer, and I actually went to a little hardware store and found a thermometer, because it was really cold. It was summer, but
it's the water.
And put it in there, and it was 68 degrees, which just sounds not that bad. But boy, when you immerse your body in 68 degrees, it doesn't take long to get.
And I would say 68 degrees in the winter versus 68 degrees in the summer.
There's a difference.
Feel very different, even though they're the exact same temperature.
Yep, exactly.
So, I mean, I get that. But, so then we've got the pond. That's just like the first thing kids see. That's not even like all of camp, right?
Yeah.
So we're really excited that that's full. That means we've got some good water for this year.
Are there years when you have trouble filling the pond because of the drought?
Yeah, there were years. When I first started.
Could you swim? You couldn't even swim?
You could swim, but we couldn't use boats maybe.
Yeah.
Or there's just picture. Like, and even by the end of the season, it's lower usually.
Yeah.
Just naturally because
water. Sure.
But it's, at the beginning of the year, it's nice to have it
cool. Water still coming in once it's,
Yes,
I mean,
it never stops. Water's coming in and going out.
Okay.
It's really clean.
It's
really clean. There's a natural filter. There's two natural filters for the pond.
Oh, that's great.
So it's great. Yeah. You can see to the bottom.
That's really good.
I mean, it's great. I appreciate that more than anything.
You always hear Lake Tahoe, they do these clarity tests, but it's supposed to be, Tahoe is really getting pretty clean.
Yeah, no, that's what I've heard. It's just it's got to be able to filter itself, and that's how the water stays clear. So, so we're excited about that. We'll have some good water activities this year, and then we've got 4 full weeks of camp and a mini week that we're trying to fill, and we have so many activities that we're going to be doing with our campers.
Have you completely recovered from COVID?
I don't think so. I think it's going to take us a few years, simply because we had a set of campers and they aged out, and the kids that were younger than them didn't get to experience it, the same time. So we're just trying to play catch up. So right now our campers do tend to be younger. Even our teen campers tend to be more like the middle school freshmen. So I think that's going to get older and older each year. That's kind of what we're experiencing since we started back in 22, which sounds like yesterday and like 10 years ago to say that. So we're slowly coming back from that. I think we're getting new campers each year, which is good. We just have to keep trying to to get more campers so that we can go back to, because our first year back, we were full with 4 weeks. And then our second year in 23, we actually had to cancel the week because we were almost full of 4 weeks, but that fifth week just didn't get there. So we're hoping this year we'll have the 4 full weeks. And even full for us right now, we max out at 60, and that's more based on the number of staff I'm able to recruit and less on the amount of cabins we have.
Yeah.
We have cabins that we could house 100 almost.
Wow.
So it's just getting the counseling staff back up to the numbers that we had pre-COVID.
Now, the last time you were here, you did not have a cook.
I didn't.
I was getting seriously worried.
Yeah, I
was
going
to have to, you know,
most people were,
hook up a trailer with a camp stove and come up there and help you out.
Yeah, but we have hired a cook, so I'm happy to say.
You turned down my application.
I did not. You didn't turn one in. We have somebody who was active in the rec retreat ministry that's throughout our diocese, and he's helped with that for a lot of years, and he's a culinary school student.
So, oh, wow.
I'm really excited that he'll be up there this summer.
A young guy?
Younger, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good. And Culinary Institute over in Napa, or where is he?
In New York.
Oh, my goodness.
But he's from here, so he was home for the summer. And
that's a tough commute from New York to Camp Pendola.
Yeah.
So you going to do that daily? Or
daily, yeah. 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 So, yeah, so we're really excited. We've got that taken care of. We have our wellness coordinator, who is somebody who I think she'll be great. She was a teacher for a number of years, so she's got that experience. And and then the CPR and first aid and all of that will be there too. And she's a mom, so she.
So what kind of training health wise? You know, you always hear us about lifeguards. Do the counselors go through in terms of just getting there some kind of first aid certificate?
Yeah, so they all go through Red Cross or another organization like Red Cross.
Yeah.
That will do it, and it's CPR and first aid for adults and children. They do that before we start camp, so that's something they come to camp with. And the same, some of our staff do the wilderness first aid as well. That's not something that all of our staff do, and at our distance from city, it's not as necessary. And we don't do, like, right now, we're not doing our backpacking trips, the long one.
So
on
the
PCT, so.
Wilderness first aid differs, like it's like running into a grizzly bear in poison oak or something.
Yeah, it just differs a little bit of more kind of like being aware of what's around you and being able to use whatever you have in front of you.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Whereas opposed to first aid CPR is, if you've taken that class, you know it's really focused on the first aid kit and what's.
The CPR has changed a little bit over the years.
It has.
I think too many broken ribs or something.
Well, I mean... The broken ribs are not the concern.
Well, that's true.
They're just not. But they're trying to simplify it for people. So, yeah. It's
so the more people can do it and
so
do it
So more people
do it
can
right.
do it and yeah. do it right and less things worry about, because you worry about the breaths and then the this and then the how many. And so they've really tried to kind of streamline that. So it is a little simpler. The last time and even how you do, we don't have infants generally at camp.
Right.
But I have to take the infant CPR part.
Sure.
So even that's changed between the last two times I had to take the class.
You might have an infant or two, like on a work day or something, you know, where parents bring everybody
up.
Yeah.
For sure, that could happen. But I mean, in general.
In camp,
in camp in general, no.
That sounds like a bad movie, Infant Camp.
I know, hard pass. Hard pass, Bob. So we have to take that class, and that even between the last two times, because I have to take it every 2 years. So between the last two times I took it, it changed. And then for health and wellness, that's the other reason that all of our staff are food handlers. So they all have that safety, added safety too with cooking. And anytime they're in the kitchen, they all pass that course and can help with dishes or any of the things in the kitchen, because there's so many different, like,
all my kids have food handler stuff now because they're baristas or they're, selling strawberries at the farmer's market. They all have to get that.
They
it's
all
good.
Have to have
it's
those
good.
Food handlers, and it's helpful. Like, there's things that, like, when I started taking that course, I was like, oh, well, that's it. I mean, that's different. But I mean, those are the kind of courses they have to take ahead of time. And then our staff training, they're learning how to lead the activities with the campers. So, like, not just a specific activity, but just in general.
Yeah.
Working with kids is different than it was 3 years ago. And, it's, but it's also the same. Like the sum of it is just the same. It's to work with campers and what we train them on. And what I know to be true is you just have to get to know them. And it's, it may seem like, how on earth could you get to know all of the campers? Like, right, you have 60 kids. And I don't know every one of them as deeply as, you know, some of the counselors will. But it's just knowing one, even just one thing about a kid that you can ask them about. And then ask them when they come back the next year. Because last year, that's last summer, there were multiple campers that were back. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you. How was whatever it happened to be for that camper? And a few of the parents were like, how do you remember my kid? And I was like, well, I see their name and I remember the thing about your kid. Like, because it's important for them to feel like,
oh yeah, welcome.
This is their place and I'm welcomed. And
what was special for them when they were there and they developed a relationship with you, and then they come back the next year, and if you look at them like they're a stranger,
exactly,
you've kind of destroyed that bond.
No, and that's exactly it. And so it's really important that we, that's part of what we do, like for leading activities. The kids aren't going to care about us wanting them to, you know, make a rosary or whatever, whatever the activity happens to be, if they don't think we know who they are and know their names. And that's, for me, sometimes the hardest part is like knowing everyone's names. But we really do try to make sure. And it's like, oh, buddy, I am so sorry if I can't remember your name. Like, can you just
remind me? Do they wear name tags?
They don't. We do, but they don't. Wow. So that's the other part that sometimes the struggle is that they all know my name because I'm Miss Jen. I'm where you go if you're in trouble, but and you want to learn archery, but it takes me a couple days to get all of their names straight.
So how long have you been doing this?
Since 2016. So
this should be ninth year.
Yeah, something like that.
Not counting COVID, but okay. So we're a little test here. I brought in pictures of kids that you had in 2016. I want you to identify them.
That I could not do.
Who's this?
I would not be able to do that.
Would you be able to do it?
No. 2016, no. That group of
how
kids.
How far back do you think you could maybe get half of them right? If they haven't been repeat campers.
If they haven't been repeat campers, I could probably get a quarter of them right.
Wow, I think that's pretty good.
From like 18. 17 was a lot of kids that were new and they repeated 18. So I probably could, you know, at least I could tell. If I didn't know their first name, I might know their last name to, like, know the family.
Yeah.
That sometimes for me is easier to be like, oh, that's a Smith kid. Or, that's one of those. Like, okay, I can put them all together and know which campers it is. And some of them I just know families. Like, we had family camp in 2017 or 18, and it was like we had quite a few, like, larger families. And I wasn't sure of every child's name, but I knew like, oh, you're.
Well, some of the families, they all look alike, and you think it's the same. You think it's the same kid, and it's not. It's the little sister that got a year older. Yeah.
Especially if they're the same height, that becomes the struggle bus. But yeah, no, I think I'm pretty good at getting to know campers. It's something that I've, you know, it's been important to me like since I was 19 working as a camp counselor at a day camp. Like, I always knew my campers and. It was, you know, it was something that was just easy for me to get to know them because it was important. And I think that's still something that I try to do. Like, again, I cannot get to know 60 kids, but I can definitely get to know 10 to 12.
My oldest daughter had a good friend in high school named Emily, who she would actually come on vacation with us sometimes, you know, and so got to know her really well. And then my daughter went off to college. Emily went off to college, different places. And about 2 years later, I was walking around downtown Davis, and there she was. I said, hi, Emily. And she says, I'm not Emily. I'm Emily's little sister.
Oh,
and
no.
It was a dead ring. It was like, just exact.
Well, and I think that's going to happen. Eventually, that's going to happen for me, I'm sure. But I think it's great when for families to see that, like, you remember their kid from year to year.
Sure.
And even though, and because the kids remember us, they ask about former counselors. That's like number one question when they arrive. Is Miss who and so-and-so here? Oh, no, I'm sorry. They graduated from college and, you know, they always say like a big girl job or, you know, like, well, you know, because you don't want to, it's what it is. It is what it is, right? It's something you kind of, as you work through college maybe and then move on. And so, it's hard for some of our campers to understand that because, like, they want the magic of that first summer to always be there with them.
My go-to name is, how you doing? Good to see you again. I'll do that with a guest that maybe hasn't been here for 7 or 8 years. And I'll say, it's nice to meet you. And Gabe will go, you already met him.
My go-to is Buddy.
Buddy, yeah, hey, buddy. Yeah, Gabe uses Buddy.
Buddy works. Yeah. It's inclusive for everyone.
Very, yeah. It's kind of friendly and chummy. And
that, and when there's a big group of them, friends. Okay, friends.
Yeah. So is this cook from the Culinary Institute is going to be lighting desserts on fire and things like that?
I certainly hope not. there will be no flambé. But, yeah, I think he's going to do a really good job. I'm excited for him to be up there and to be able to have
How did somebody get that kind of time slot between jobs, maybe?
No, he hasn't graduated yet, so he's in school.
Okay, so he's still in. Okay,
he's still in school. So it's just his summer break, yeah. And so that's how that worked out, yeah.
I've always thought that would be so fascinating to do that. I don't know, I suppose there are different levels of it and different lengths and all that. But, I think we're all fascinated with food to some degree. But... yeah, I just think that, I guess there's the one over there in Napa, the Culinary Institute of America. And
there's one here in Sacramento.
There's one here in Sacramento,
like Natomas area.
Yeah.
I think. Natomas? I don't know.
So what do you need to hire yet?
I still need some counselors. We're looking for, I think, 4 guys and 3 girls to round out the team.
Have to have graduated from high school.
They have to be graduated from high school, 18.
Do they have to have a driver's license?
They do not.
Okay.
They'll just need to make a friend who can give them a ride to camp and back if they want to go home on the weekends. But, yeah, so we're just looking for a few people who, want to spend their summer up in the Pines and enjoy, all that nature has to offer and have fun with campers. Like, we just want people to come up and want to be there and have fun. There's so much stress in the world right now that camp is just such a
get away from that.
Especially for the counselors and for our campers. Like, so it's so important that we're able to offer this, continue to offer this program, for kids to be able to just go away. And the confidence that kids gain from camp,
you hear that a lot.
Measurable.
Yeah.
And I hear that from my counselors who I'm interviewing, returning staff and, brand new staff. They're like, that's what I gained from camp if they had gone, is confidence. And I think that's something that we take for granted, that we think that parents are raising confident, kids. But if they never get a chance to test that out, that bravery in a safe environment where mom and dad isn't right there.
Yeah.
It's a muscle you have to be confident is a muscle you have to work. And so just school, just going away at school isn't going to necessarily flex that muscle.
Yeah.
Going to outdoor school for a week does help that.
Right.
But there's just so much time that campers they're responsible for themselves. Like, they're responsible for their own stuff. They're responsible for everything, themselves. We will help them. We'll tell them where to go and how to do things. But we help them depend upon themselves, which I think is something that is just you can't make that. It just can't not be done. It has to be done, and they need it. And they need us to make sure they understand. They need us to be there as a safety in case they really can't figure it out. But also to be no, man, I know you can do it.
You can do it. Yeah.
I spend most of my summer going, dude, you can totally do this. What are you talking about? You've got this. And it's something that's important. And I was at ACA this year, and one of the speakers, she was talking about it with her staff, but I think it applies to our campers as well, is this idea of you've got it because I've got you.
Mm-hmm.
So reminding them, we are here and we will help you, but I know you can do it. Because if you can't, I've got it. I will be here to help you. And I think that's something that's that is unique in a camp situation.
Do you hear that from parents that this really helped their kid that way, confidence wise?
Some of the parents, I don't know the parents necessarily recognize it right away.
It takes a while when
they get home. And but it's definitely something I've heard from campers. It's something I've heard from staff in interviews that they came back from camp as kids feeling more confident.
I remember when they founded Wyoming Catholic College a few years ago.
Yeah.
And one of the, it's like, I think they hold half their classes in the mountains. You know, I mean, it was just I think it's in Lander. But all of Wyoming is pretty high to begin with, yeah. You know, 5,000-6,000 feet. And then they got all the mountains and can get really cold. But that their outdoor program is just integral. It's not just let's go hike in the woods. No. It's integral to the whole developing the whole person.
It's their freshman orientation. They go on a backpacking trip.
Yeah.
And I know, I think it's Father Brian Sullivan from our diocese is one of the chaplains.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know
if he was the founder. I think his name was Father Bob Cook. I think he was a priest in Casper, but I think he was the first president. I don't know if he's still there.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was quite a number of years ago, but it was very impressive.
It's very impressive, and it's just a different way of doing it. But basically, their freshman orientation, they go on a backpacking trip. Every freshman does it. And I think that's really interesting. Again, it gets people out of their comfort zones.
Yep.
And that's part of what camp is. It gets, again, out of a comfort zone, but in the safety of we have all of these caring adults that are there to catch. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like that's the important part is that, like, we're not just like, hey, go in the woods. You're by yourself. Hopefully you get back.
Yeah.
It's not that at all, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, here's all the things you're going to need to do this week and all the things you're going to learn. And you know, giving them time to pray and, like, understand their own spirituality is so unique in that way, too. Like, we're giving them opportunities to pray that maybe are different than how they pray at home or they're used to. I mean, we introduce adoration to kids every summer because we do a night with a holy hour. And every week there are kids that have never done it before.
Adoration.
They've never done adoration before. They don't know what it is. And to see that change special too.
Either I missed it because my parents were very devout, but we just didn't have adoration when I was a kid. I mean, maybe we did, but no, it didn't have the emphasis that it seems to have now.
I would agree with you. And even for me, that was not a devotion that I grew up with.
Oh, she meant by that was 40 years younger.
I didn't say it. But no, I mean, my parents, that wasn't a devotion necessarily that my parents had or that I remember. Like, I know there was you know, adoration after daily mass on Fridays or something growing up, maybe. But like, again, I was in school, so it wasn't something that I necessarily knew about. And then Holy Thursday, that was it, right?
Yeah.
And that was for me. Everyone's different. Everyone's experience was different. And so I fully appreciate for the kids that have never experienced it.
Is there an age that's too young? They just can't sit still? No?
I don't believe so. But you have to pay attention to the time.
Mm-hmm.
So for a kid that's little and squirmy, maybe you have to go in, pray for a little bit, and then walk outside, and then go back in. And older kids maybe just want to be able to sit in silence. And even some older kids, like, one may need to be able to sing or be able to stand in the back and get up and stand. And another kid may be able to just sit and pray in silence the whole time. So that's, you know, part of what we do during staff training is talk about, like, for us as staff, like, yes, I want you to have that experience of Christ right there. But I also want you to remember that you are Christ in front of these kids. And sometimes they need you more. They need you more than the prayer you're doing. And it's being aware of their body language and what they're doing. And are they falling asleep or are they too squirmy and do they need some redirection or to be able to, like, just go stand outside? It's okay, buddy. Go stand outside. And so that's something that we do. But also, like, I tell the story of where a monstrance came from and, like, what the beauty of that and why we're doing this and that it's not just because Father likes to.
Right.
We're doing this. This is your time to talk to Jesus. Just you and Jesus, pretend nobody else is in the room. And I introduce it that way every week.
Any special emphasis this year with the Eucharistic, you know, revival?
Not necessarily, but I did get some advice that we're going to try to do. First of all, Father Ryan Marr wants to do adoration outside, mm-hmm. which that'll be exciting under the stars.
Yeah, at night.
At night, because we always do it at night anyways. Yeah. And then secondly, to just allow for, we usually do a holy hour, which after the holy hour, it's bedtime basically. Our plan is to work it so that the holy hour can be longer for some of our older campers mm-hmm. and shorter for some of our younger campers, because the priests tend to be watching the younger campers and then stop it when they notice they're like coming out of the skin, squirmy. So to just kind of allow the littles to leave and the older kids to stay later. I think that will be kind of our emphasis. Just doing what we keep, just continuing what we're doing. I think that's something with this Eucharistic revival is yes, maybe more can be done and maybe that's what we want to do. But I think it's also like, let's keep doing what we feel is working and what the Spirit is moving within us. And that's why, you know, keeping adoration and having that time with benediction and exposition of the Blessed Sacrament is so important for us at camp. It's not the whole that we do. It's not the source and summit is the Mass, you know. So that's the thing. But this is another form of prayer for kids sure. to do. We are adding a Mass another all camp Mass on Friday mornings, which is something we usually did one all camp Mass on Sundays.
Right.
So now we'll do one on Fridays.
Good. Instead of Sunday.
Both. We'll do both.
Oh, both. You do both. Yeah. So yeah, you know, it's interesting because every day I'm more fascinated with it because everything works, you know, and not that, I suppose the one animal that gets attacked by the other animal and didn't think it worked so well, but you know, I mean, but it
not
all works,
day,
you
yeah.
know, and you look at stuff and you look at the intricacy of designs on a snake or a butterfly or that kind of stuff. And it's just wild. And I've always felt, being out in nature, if you didn't believe in God before, or a design or whatever, you know, I mean, I, there's no way this happened by chance. I cannot believe
absolutely not.
All of this could happen by chance, which I'm not becoming unscientific or anything, but it's just mind-boggling to think there's some of the way it all works together. That I know every time we're in the redwoods way up north in Humboldt County, I tell my kids, that tree is as old as when Jesus was walking the earth. That tree was starting out, and nobody watered it. Nobody fertilized it. Nobody worried about a flood. Nobody put out a forest fire. It just did it all by itself. No help from anybody, and now it's 365 feet tall, you know.
Right.
And there's got to be a God. I mean, it seems like it would become self-evident.
To me, it is. I mean, that's yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason that, like, we have been for the last few years been doing an activity with environmental stewardship and mm-hmm. focusing a little bit, introducing Laudato Si uh-huh. to the camper. So, and that is a way to do that and help
sure.
them to see, you know, it's not just one or the other, right? It's not just that we go look at a tree and we see God. It's that we go look at a tree, we see God, and then we go to Mass and thank Him for that tree.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the interconnectedness that camp creates, right? Like the opportunity for Mass, the opportunity for prayer, and the opportunity to experience all that God has created and to understand that it was created by this God who loves us, right? Not just because.
Right.
Not just like... two stars hit each other and then suddenly the world, right? It's, you know, it's some of that. Yeah. That's real too. But it's also, it's that connectedness of like seeing what nature is and then thanking God for giving it to us and allowing us to take care of it. That idea of stewardship is something we talk about at camp. That's why with our food waste, we try not to like waste a lot of food at the end of a meal. Only take what you're going to eat. Like if you're going up for seconds, which we fully encourage, be honest about how much you can eat, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we do all of these things with that idea in mind so that we can, you know, still have Camp Pendola to use and to see in in 60 years in the future. Where, I mean, we're operating. This is our 64th year.
So do you have to haul out your own garbage and all that, or
they come to us. They come once a week and pick up our trash.
Where do they come from?
I don't.
Probably Yuba City or somewhere.
Yuba City. Yeah, because we're in Yuba County, so
yeah,
probably Yuba City or Marysville.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, luckily, but we try to keep the trash down so that we're, you know, taking care of the world like we're supposed to.
Very good. So what camps are open?
All of them are currently open. Okay. We still have some space in all of them. Girls Week is almost full. I will say that.
And when is Girls Week?
Girls Week is July 7th. Starts July 7th. It's the week that week.
And what ages are we talking about?
7 to 17.
Oh, okay. So
all ages are welcome at Girls Week.
At the same camp. Yeah.
At the same camp. The only week that has an age restriction is our Teen Week, which is the last, second to last week of July. I'm not exactly sure the date because my brain can't remember them right now. Starts on the 21st.
Okay.
So that's our Invaders of the Night week. And then Survivor week is the week of the 14th. And then Lost in Space week is in June. June 23rd.
Okay. And Survivors and Invaders of the Night?
Yeah.
What's the difference between those? Sound the same to me.
Okay, so Invaders of the Night week is our teen week. They stay up later and later each night. We do more of our like glow in the dark activities, more night activities that we can't do during the day because sunlight. And it's just for older campers, so it's an opportunity for them to just kind of be with older campers, just themselves, which some really appreciate. Especially when their younger sibling is not quite old enough to attend.
Yeah.
That's my experience, at least. And then our Survivor Week is for all ages this year, and it's more of a challenge week. So each day they get a Survivor challenge. Maybe it's to make friends. Maybe it's to, you know, go greet this many people. Or maybe it's a cooking challenge where we just give them a bag of random food from the kitchen, canned food or whatever, and they have to, like, create something that our kitchen staff will enjoy.
I think I've seen that show on TV.
Yeah, yes, that game. I forget what that show is, but yes, it's that kind of idea. And they really enjoy that one. We do a Survivor challenge when they're at their overnights, the sleep out under the stars. So it's more like competitive, which the kids seem to really get into. They like that fun in there. Kids are competitive. I don't know if you are aware of that, but
I have four that are all year apart.
They're a little competitive, I would guess.
A little bit. They get along though. The good thing is they have different interests, so that they're not competing academically or athletically and stuff.
Right. And the fun thing about the challenges is that they're like one might be more kind of academic and one might be more physical, so that it does really balance itself out among the kids, which is really the goal.
And talk about a counselor, what's required.
So the counselors,
they're paid.
They are paid. The base salary is $607 a week this year.
Wow.
So they're paid a weekly stipend. And
that doesn't even sound like a stipend.
And they're just required to, before staff training begins, to get CPR and first aid certified or lifeguard certified if they
on their own.
On their own,
is that easy to do?
Mm-hmm. It's very easy to do. Yeah,
and you reimburse
and we reimburse them after the fact. Yep. And that's the basic requirement. And then they just have to be excited to work at camp and be happy to be there.
And a camp will run from Sunday midday.
Sunday midday until Friday night. So,
they can go home for two nights if they want to.
For two nights, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or they can stay.
Or they can stay. That's completely up to them.
What's the norm?
You know, it changes every summer. Like two summers ago, everyone went home. Last summer, like four or five stayed. And then it would change each week. Some weeks they'd all, you know, they'd want to stay. And some weeks they'd want to go home.
Good. Good. Phone number?
Yeah, you can.
Or pendola.org?
You can go to pendola.org to register and to get all the details. You can also give me a call My number is 916-733-0135.
Very good. Yeah. Jennifer, always a joy. Thank you. Good luck with getting everybody. And I want some video of the cook.
Okay, I will.
Okay, thank you. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous. But a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet, really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover a picture, maybe it's front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow says, I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure, and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you have worked at those places, are very familiar with those places, or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary and formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners in the annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer, Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento, Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this Diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the Court of Appointed Special Advocate Program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service. to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about in this pamphlet a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With costs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The annual Catholic Appeal, a wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org. Welcome back, everyone. There is a wonderful, we've been anticipating this for quite some time now, the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage in the Diocese of Sacramento. Actually, the Eucharistic Pilgrimage nationally, that will start from four different locations, all ending up in Indianapolis, Indiana, a little bit later, but right now, starting here in the Diocese of Sacramento, on Tuesday through Friday, next week, May 21 through 24, May 21, remembering and praying for migrants and farm workers, there will be 8 a.m. Mass at St. Vincent in Vallejo, 9 a.m. Eucharistic procession from St. Vincent in Vallejo to the Vallejo Municipal Marina on the Napa River, 9:30 a.m. Eucharistic procession by boat from the Vallejo Municipal Marina to the Benicia Marina. A lot of water in this diocese. 10:30 a.m. Eucharistic procession from Benicia Marina to St. Dominic Parish in Benicia. 11 a.m. Eucharistic adoration at St. Dominic in Benicia. 11:30 a.m. Eucharistic procession from St. Dominic to on the Carquinez Strait. Then at noon, Eucharistic procession by boat from the Benicia Marina. This is just so cool. To Rio Vista Public Boat Launch. I guess cool might not be the right word, but it's fascinating and it's really moves your heart. 3 p.m., Eucharistic procession from the public boat launch to St. Joseph in Rio Vista. The public boat launch in Rio Vista is right there at City Hall. 3:30 p.m., the Eucharistic Adoration at St. Joseph in Rio Vista. 4 p.m., Eucharistic Procession from St. Joseph in Rio Vista to the Sacramento River, and then up the Sacramento River to the Freeport Marina in Clarksburg, finally ending the day at 8:15 p.m. with Eucharistic Procession and Adoration at St. Joseph Parish in Clarksburg, just hard against the Sacramento River there. On May 22nd, remembering and praying for the homeless, 8 a.m. Eucharistic procession by boat from Clarksburg to West Sacramento, and then a private event, Eucharistic adoration at Loaves and Fishes in Friendship Park across the river in Sacramento on N Street. 11 a.m. Eucharistic procession from Riverwalk Park in West Sacramento, the beautiful park there, right across the Tower Bridge, right on Tower Avenue that heads right into Capitol Avenue. I mean, it heads right into the state capitol. 12:15 p.m. Mass at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, followed by Eucharistic adoration at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, very near the state capitol. May 23rd, remembering and praying for the prisoners and youth, private event, a Mass at Folsom Prison. 10:30 a.m., Eucharistic procession from Folsom Prison parking lot to St. John the Baptist in Folsom, that parish. 11 a.m., Eucharistic adoration at St. John the Baptist in Folsom. And 7 p.m., Eucharistic adoration up on the hill for youth at Holy Trinity in El Dorado Hills. And then the final day, May 24, remembering and praying for mothers in need and for the environment. 8:30 a.m., Mass at St. Patrick in Placerville. 9:30 a.m., Eucharistic procession from St. Patrick, Placerville, to the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville. A real active group in Placerville, doing some wonderful, wonderful things in the Lord's Vineyard. Private event, Eucharistic adoration at the Mother Teresa Maternity Home, Placerville. 10:45 a.m., Eucharistic procession from the Mother Teresa Maternity Home to St. Patrick's in Placerville. 11:15 a.m., Eucharistic adoration at St. Patrick in Placerville. And everybody's invited to any or all or one of these events, or if you can make them all, that's wonderful too. And then from St. Patrick in Placerville, Eucharistic adoration at 3:30 p.m. at St. Teresa in South Lake Tahoe. So we're going up Highway 50 now. 5 p.m., travel across Lake Tahoe by boat to Incline, Nevada, which is in the Diocese of Reno, the westernmost part of the Diocese of Reno. Nevada is split into two dioceses, Reno in the north and Nevada, Las Vegas in the south. And then 7:45 p.m., the Eucharistic procession and Eucharistic adoration at St. Francis Parish in Incline, Nevada. For more information, go to scd.org/celebrate to get more information on the diocesan and national Eucharistic revival. I'm just thrilled that this is taking place, and I think it is going to bear great fruit. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone.
We stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? And together we sing.
enough, you say.